biodiversity to begin with, such as boreal forest in Canada or tundra in Greenland. The amount of ecologically intact lands was much lower than we were expecting, Dr. Andrew Plantre, head of the Key Biodiversity Areas Secretariat at Cambridge and lead author of the study, told Science News. "Going in, I'm guessed that it would be 8 to 10%, he added. It just shows how huge an impact we'd had. The researchers examined whether natural habitats had retained the number of species which were present in the year 1500, the standard used by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature to assess species extinction. Earlier research using satellite imagery led to estimates that 20 to 40% of the planet had retained its natural biodiversity. But areas including dense forest, which can appear intact from above, were found to be missing numerous species. The researchers linked the loss of unscathed land to hunting and other destructive human activities, disease, and the impact of invasive species. According to The Guardian, the study may underestimate the intact regions because it does not take account of the impacts of the climate crisis, which is changing the ranges of species. Only 11% of land still considered intact was found to be in officially protected areas, but much of the intact regions coincide with territories managed by indigenous communities, who have played a vital role in maintaining the ecological integrity of these areas, the researchers wrote. In light of the study, advocates including author George Monbiot and ecologist Alan Watson called for rewilding or species reintroduction in affected areas. The reintroduction of up to 5 species could help restore 20% of the planet to previous levels of biodiversity, the study found. Examples would include reintroducing forest elephants in areas of Congo Basin where they have been extirpated, or reintroducing some of the large ungulates that have been lost from much of Africa's woodlands and savannas because of overhunting, that is, buffalo, giraffe, zebras, etc., as long as overhunting has ceased, the researchers wrote. Previously, the rewilding of gray wolves in Yellowstone National Park in the U.S. led to a resurgence in the park's ecosystem. More than 30 years ago, wilderness areas, natural areas that have not been considerably modified by humans, were identified as priorities of conservation and protection actions. Only recently has there been a push to define how to measure wilderness, with a focus on intact habitats. The integrity of natural ecosystems has also been recognized by the UN Convention on Biological Diversity as an important goal in the post-2020 Global Biodiversity Framework. Currently, there is no common definition of intactness. Past assessments, which focused on mapping human influence on habitat intactness, created maps of anthropogenic impact that independently estimated that between 20% and 40% of the planet's terrestrial surface remains free from major human disturbance such as human settlements, roads, and light and noise pollution. In the new study, Plumbre and colleagues took a different approach. Instead of focusing on human impact, they made a scoping of key biodiversity areas, KBA criterion sea sites, which states that an intact ecological community has the full complement of species known to occur in a particular site in their natural abundances. That is, no one knows of the loss of animals in that area relative to a regionally appropriate benchmark. As a benchmark, the authors chose the year 1500 CE, as this is the baseline date for assessing species extinctions within the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. In addition to habitat intactness, the authors also assessed faunal intactness, that is, without any loss of animal species, and functional intactness, no loss of animal densities below a level that would affect the healthy functioning of an ecosystem.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Salaamu Alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. I'm Hassanain, and we have in the studio our guest speaker, Sheikh Farman Ali Ma'asumi. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya Qom. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Brother Farman.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
How are you, brother?
Thank you so much for inviting me and for giving me this great opportunity. And I would like to thank the IRIB English Radio for giving me this great opportunity.
So, dear audience, in the previous show, we have discussed the different ways of advising to our children indirectly. So we have mentioned a few, like being a good listener and being open-minded and keeping ourselves in the place of our children. So proceeding with the same topic, I would like Sheikh Farman to continue.
We have discussed three rules.
Yeah.
We are talking, as you said, regarding the indirect advising your teenagers.
Yeah.
So because it is a very, very sensitive issue, so we have to be very cautious and sensitive.
Yeah, that's right.
So Islam has given us some guidelines. Yeah. If we utilize these guidelines, then we will succeed. You know, we will have very, very fruitful result with our teenagers. So the fourth, we have discussed three rules. The fourth rule is be positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with your teenager.
Yeah.
Whenever you want to discuss anything, any issue, and whenever you want to advise him, even indirectly or maybe sometimes directly, be positive.
Sure.
You know, do not start any sentence with negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And this can bridge the gap between you and your teenager.
Yeah.
It can help you solve the problems.
Uh-huh.
Because nowadays also a lot of psychologists, they say being positive itself has a lot of benefits, you mm-hmm. know. If your mind is positive, you think about positive. So it brings
good
positivity,
for your mental health.
Mental health, your relationship, everything. Even I have seen in, you know, a lot of educated people, they write some positive sentences on their walls.
Yeah.
They say by looking at these positive sentences, you get the positivity, yeah?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Now they have understood these things. That's why Islam in 1,400 years before mm-hmm. Islam has told us that looking at the Quran,
that's
looking
right.
at the Kaaba, looking at the Imam Ali or Mu'min
is
Ibadah. Ibadah, what does it mean?
Mashallah.
It gives you the strength, positivity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So be positive with your teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things to say in this positivity, but our time does not allow us. That's why we will, inshallah, continue.
Inshallah.
The fifth rule is respect your teenager.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's important, yeah.
That's very important. Because if you respect your teenager, and respecting does not mean that once you respect.
Yeah.
Respect from the beginning.
Yeah.
Even if he was a child, you know, you have to respect.
True.
Again, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown us how to respect your children. You know, about Fatimatu Zahra, his daughter, salamullah alaiha, he would stand up for his daughter.
Yeah.
Imagine in that era.
Mm-hmm.
Having a girl daughter,
especially in the time of Arab
Jahiliyyah,
and
that time he would stand to respect in respect of his daughter. And this upbringing of Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made Fatimatu Zahra, the Sayyidatu Nisa al Alameen, the chief of the all women of the universe. So it shows us that if you respect your teenager, then it has miraculous effects.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Brother Farman. We'll take a short break over here. So dear audience, just stay with us. Do not go anywhere.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear audience, and before the break, we were discussing about the indirect ways of guiding and advising our children. And we have discussed, until now, we have discussed five ways, and Sheikh Farman, I would like you to continue.
Yeah, we were discussing that respecting your teenager is very, very important. Unfortunately, some of parents, they think if they respect their children, it will reduce in their respect. If they stand to welcome their son, they would feel that I have not done a good job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's somehow irrespectful for them.
Yeah, but that's completely wrong.
That's
it's not this way.
Completely wrong. No matter wherever you are, in what situation you are, if you give respect, especially in front of others, Islam says you have to respect your children, your teenager.
Sure.
Rule number six is never make fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
This is another very important rule.
Like in front of people or just...
And just, you know, in front of people is worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just between you and your son, you and your daughter, you know, in your family.
Yeah.
Never make fun of him, no matter what kind of fun you are making, you know.
Yeah.
Never laugh at his
So work. That's completely opposite to our previous point where we had to respect the teenagers.
Yeah. Some parents do a lot of kiddings with children. This is good. You have to be friendly with teenagers and children, but don't make fun of them.
True.
You know? And if you make fun of them, it will reduce in their confidence.
True.
And it will increase the gap between you and your teenagers.
Mm-hmm,
so this is also very, very important. And rule number seven is be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be so stubborn with your teenagers. For example, if you are having any dispute, he says, I want this, I like this color or this thing, don't give him a lot of logics and reason that, no, this color is not good, this thing is not good.
So we need to listen to
him. Yeah, listen and accept his ideas, accept his opinion.
Yeah.
This is also, again, very, very important. And again, I know it's hard for, you know, parents to accept the idea or the opinion of your teenager, your child. But it helps you increase the relationship between
your teenager.
And another rule, rule number eight, is don't impose your ideas, your opinion to your teenager.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, especially in traditional families, it happens a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, the teenagers, the children, they do not have any right to say anything.
Yeah.
Their parents, whatever the, you know, father says, they have to do. Their father dominant or parents dominant house, which Islam completely discourages it.
True.
So do not impose your idea, your opinion to your teenagers.
Sure. So thank you so much, Brother Farman. Let's take a short break over here and then we'll continue after the break.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back to your audience. Before the break, Sheikh said that we shouldn't impose our ideas on the children. Let's continue with the ninth one.
Yeah, so these are very, very beautiful rules regarding advising your teenagers.
Yeah.
So rule number nine is, whenever they are in good mood, then you go talk to them.
Uh-huh, that's right, that's good.
Then discuss the issue. For example, if you have any problem between you and him, don't look at the time whenever you have free time. No.
Yeah.
Whenever he is in good mood, go and talk to him. Go discuss the problem with him. Mm-hmm. Which is, again, very important.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, true.
You know, if you are in a good mood, then you can listen carefully, you can think, you can ponder upon it, then you can accept it very easily.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you are not in good mood, because everything depends on your mood.
Yeah.
Even Quran and Ahadith says that our heart has moods.
True.
Yeah, لِلْقَلْبِ إِدْبَارٌ وَإِقْبَارٌ. You know, for your heart also has sometimes good times, sometimes bad times.
Yeah.
So whenever the good time arrives, you do ibadah.
True.
You do a lot of namaz, you pray a lot, you fast a lot, you do whatever good deeds you can do.
Yeah.
But when it has idbar, the bad time, sometimes you feel,
yeah? Yeah. It
could make
the things
worse. That time you just do
your
wajib.
That's right.
So likewise in the our physical things also, in weather also, sometimes there is a good weather, sometimes bad weather. In good weather, you know, we can do a lot of good things.
True.
So in our relationships also, we should see the good weather.
Whenever
weather is good,
that's right, yeah.
You go ahead and discuss and talk to your teenagers, which will help you improve the relationships and decrease the problems and decrease the gap between you, inshallah.
Right.
Number 10 is, again, advice very, very rarely. We have said before also that that's why I will not pause on it.
Yep.
Just I will skip it. Because if you do a lot of advices, then there would not be any value for your advices.
Yeah,
you know?
True. That's right.
In the eyes of your teenager. So very, very carefully and very, very rarely you do advice.
Thank you so much, Brother Farman. So in this program, we have discussed about different ways of advising, and we have said that Islam has given us the guidelines in a beautiful way. So in the previous program we have already discussed the 3 points and the 3 ways. So in this program we have discussed more 6 ways of advising our children. So one of them, we said the fourth one, we said that we need to be positive, the parents need to be positive. And the fifth one, we said that the parents should respect their teenagers. And the sixth one, we said that the parents should never make fun of them, so that it'll create a gap between the parents and the teenagers. And the seventh one, we said that parents need to be flexible. They do not need to be stubborn. They need to respect their opinions and ideas of their children. And the eighth one, we said that parents should not impose their opinions on their children. And ninth one, we said that the parents should talk to them when the children are in a good mood. So if they're in a bad mood, that could basically worsen up the situation. And the last one, which has been said earlier as well, that they should advise them rarely or else it won't be valued. So thank you so much, dear audience, for staying with us. If you have any questions, comments or suggestions, please contact us at our email englishradio@irib.ir and visit us at our website parstoday.com. Until the next program, fi amanullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned, perfect with no flaws at all, are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is a saying from the Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, who on this day in the year 201 AH was declared heir apparent by the crafty Abbasid Caliph Ma'mun in order to deceive the Muslim masses. If the Caliphate is your right, you have no right to give to others what God has determined for you. And if it is not your right, how can you pass on to others that which does not belong to you at all?
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
the light.
Hello and welcome back to The Light. Malaysian farmers tap classical music and massages to grow one of the world's most expensive fruits, Japanese muskmelons. The farmers believe the method is the best way to grow Japanese muskmelons in Malaysia's hot tropical weather. They regularly rub the melons with a soft cloth or glove. That's a practice, the farmers say, enhance the melon's flavor. To stimulate their growth, classical music is played in greenhouses. And now, all these efforts have paid off following constant trials. The farmers are finally selling their prized luxury fruits of labor on the market.
April is usually marked by multi-day festivities across much of Southeast Asia, including Myanmar, as they observe the Buddhist New Year. The traditional New Year in Myanmar this year began on Tuesday with five-day celebrations known as Tengon. The occasion is usually celebrated with prayers, ritual cleaning of Buddha images in temples, and public water splashing on the streets. They think water can wash their souls and all evil deeds. People also flock to temples with traditional pots containing flowers and receive blessings from monks. But typically, joyous period of celebration is looking very different this year amid coronavirus and political crises in Myanmar.
A dozen lucky penguins have been returned to the wild after rehabilitating from malnutrition and anemia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Argentina. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists. Some of them had lost their plumage due to malnutrition, but they recovered their feathers after receiving special nutrients. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile. People in Britain are marking the easing of lockdowns implemented to curb the coronavirus pandemic. Words like freedom, hope, family, reunion, and relief have been projected on the walls of the UK's most iconic landmarks, as well as shops and department stores, to show people's feelings. A British company commissioned a survey to find the words that best summed up people's feeling after months of lockdown began to be lifted on Monday. Those celebrating the event say reunion is the word that can best express their feelings.
The most powerful word in there for me is reunion. We've all been apart from each other, friends, loved ones, colleagues, who are also loved ones, I suppose, in some cases, and really looking forward to getting back to my friends and family that I haven't seen for a long time, and imagine a lot of the British public are too.
The event comes as the UK has been the worst-hit nation with a pandemic across Europe. The country saw a staggering number of infections and deaths for months. This prompted authorities to impose restrictions in an effort to bring the pandemic under control. Japanese Olympics organizers have unveiled the game's iconic rings on top of Mount Takara, a popular tourist spot in the west of the Japanese capital, Tokyo. The unveiling of the rings comes as athletes around the world are ramping up training some 100 days ahead of the international event. The sad side of the story, however, is that the spectators are barred this time to accompany the organizers to mark and celebrate it. This is because uncertainties still exist over how and even whether or not the games will take place. A surge of the coronavirus infections, including in Japan, is playing havoc with preparations ahead of the Olympics. Many hope mass vaccinations would help hold the event. Suppose you have run out of milk and you're not in the mood to shop for shopping. This is for you. Robots are lending a hand with grocery shopping in Singapore. A technology company has deployed two robots to a neighborhood for a trial period. Both named Camilo, the machines deliver items from nearby supermarkets and online shops to around 700 households. Designers say people tend to use robots in the pandemic era.
Especially during this pandemic period, everybody is looking at, you know, contactless, humanless, because in the robot itself, it has its own disinfection UVC light that we could do disinfection after every trip is being made by itself.
The robots are equipped with sensors and cameras, and they can carry up to 20 kilograms in their compartment. Users can track the robot on its way using the mobile application. The smart machines make 4 or 5 deliveries per day.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A section of highway winding through mountains and over the waters in central China provides people with picturesque views as it connects multiple tourist attractions in the region. Guzhuao Highway is located in Yichuan City in Hubei Province. The highway has a total length of more than 10 kilometers. Almost 4.5 kilometers of the highway stretches over valleys and streams. The highway also offers convenience for self-driving tourists. In order to avoid deforestation and protect the ecological environment, building bridges was adopted to replace the traditional approach of digging tunnels and constructing roads in mountains.
Now, a group of researchers have discovered a new mammal from the dinosaur era during their excavations in Chile. The creature, called the Oretherium zen, meaning beast of five teeth, inhabited southern Chile's Miocenes region during the Mesozoic era of the dinosaurs. This is a very important discovery as it fills a gap in information on the evolution of a mysterious group of mammals that became extinct and have no descendants today.
The interesting thing with this finding, and this is based on a fairly well-preserved portion of the jaw with five teeth, is that this animal probably was an omnivore. So it fed on plants, probably insects and other types of food, a varied diet. It coexisted in the same place with other forms of life, including mainly dinosaurs. On rocks with a data that indicates that it was between 72 million, 74 million years old. And this is located in the far south of Chile, in the Magallanes region, in the town of Valle del Rio de las Chinas.
The find may help scientists answer many questions they had for a long time about dinosaurs, mammals, and other groups. This discovery is more significant than other findings because a well-preserved jaw belonging to the dinosaur was found during the excavations.
To Egypt, where archaeologists have discovered an ancient city dating back to more than 3,400 years ago. The city, which is the largest ever found in Egypt, dates back to the golden age of the pharaohs. It's located in the city of Luxor, some 500 kilometers south of the capital, Cairo. The city had almost complete walls, as well as rooms filled with tools of daily life, along with rings, scarabs, colored pottery vessels, and mud bricks. Archaeologists say this is just the beginning of the discovery.
We believe that this golden lost city is the most important discovery after the discovery of Tutankhamun. I call it golden because it was found in the golden age of Egypt, 1391 BC. I call it lost city because it was lost. No one really believed that the city could exist here. The dazzling Aton, three main districts. One area for storage. We found a big area for the storage of meat, making sandals, also sewing clothing, precious stones for making necklaces and bracelets, pottery. Tell us about the relation of Egypt with the New Kingdom. We think that this is the beginning of the discovery.
Hawass says only one portion of the city has been discovered. The team will excavate the area of the temples in September. One other amazing thing about the discovery is that archaeologists found a large fish covered in gold that may have been venerated by the people living in the city. Archaeologists claim this is the second most important discovery since the tomb of Pharaoh Tutankhamun nearly a century ago. As a famous saying goes, everyone deserves a second chance. That's true about humans and animals. Mary is a baby alpaca from Germany. Her hind limbs were severely damaged in a traumatic birth, forcing vets to amputate one back leg. However, that was not the end of the way for this cute woolly mammal. A charitable farmer found Mary and adopted her. Now she has her own special wheeled harness that she works with. Mary's owner hopes to give her an artificial limb once she regains enough strength to carry weight on her remaining hind leg. That way, she can live as a regular happy alpaca.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio in the month of Allah, the month of Ramadan. The topic of today's special is obedience.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
Today, Monday, is the 6th of the month of Ramadan, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We listen to chapter Ar-Rum, verses 26 to 27.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
وله من في السماوات والأرض كل له قانتون.
And to him belongs whoever is in the heavens and earth. All are to him devoutly obedient.
وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده وهو أهون عليه وله المثل الأعلى في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
And it is he who begins creation, then he repeats it, and that is even easier for him. To him belongs the highest attribute in the heavens and earth, and he is the exalted in might, the wise.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is clear here that the purpose of ownership and also obedience is a genetic worship and obedience. This is from the point of the laws of creation, everything in his authority and desirably and undesirably, all are subservient to his laws in the world of creation. Even the disobedient, haughty persons and the sinful lawbreakers also have to obey Allah's genetic laws. The reason of this ownership is his divinity, Allah's divinity and lordship. The one who has created the beings from the beginning and has undertaken their management, surely Allah must be the essential owner too, not other than Him. Obeying the commands of Allah. Dear friend, fasting means obeying the commands of Allah. We Muslims fast not because of any other reason, but only because Allah has commanded us to do so. Allah says in chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 183, O you who believe, observing as-sawm, the fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become al-muttaqoon, the pious ones. So we worship Allah by doing this act of worship, that means fasting, which is beloved to Allah and which Allah has enjoined upon us. So fasting is hastening to obey a command of Allah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to IRIB English Radio Station. You guys are listening to today's special. You guys heard the part of the dua or the supplication where it states اللهم لا تخذلني فيه لتعرضي معصيتك. O Allah, on this day, do not disappoint me by allowing me to expose myself to acts of disobedience towards you or to you. It must become clear that, especially in the Shia school of thought, there's this factor of free will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered and wanted his believers to follow his orders, to obey his command, to stay away from what he prohibited, to deny themselves and to retain themselves from falling into sins. Yet here you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not allow me? How does that go with the thought of free will that the school of thought of Shia, the Shia school of thought, believe in and defend and write books about? And like 1,000 years we've been defending about this concept, you know. We've been, you know, in scientific debates with the Asha'ira about it, even before the Asha'ira. We've been in various debates about it, and you know, this concept is clear from the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt. See, here it goes back to understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lutf. The meaning of lutf is, like you could say, aid. It's like this special kind of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes He does not, you know, you have that will. You're going, for example, let's say that this man wants to hit a cat. This is the best example that I have in my mind right now, because I have different examples, but I think that, you know, hitting a cat is kind of bad. So, for example, you want to hit the cat, and it's for your free will. You have the stick, you can move your hand, you're going to hit the cat. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of His believer, He does not want him to fall into the sin of, you know, beating a cat. What does He do? He puts, for example, this strength in this cat, this reflex in this cat, that makes it move right away and to understand that you're coming towards it. Let's say that you grab the cat and you put it in the qafas or in a cage, and you move the stick and you want to hit the cat again. But the cat also, subhanAllah, the door opened. The cat was able to open the door, so it runs away. See, this is the kind of mercy that you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to close the doors of sins. You know, you have the power to open the door, and if you keep on opening it, you might open it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, just holds the door and keeps it shut for a little while, and for you, in hope that you stay away from falling into the sin. It's a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do not disappoint me, to aid me in staying away from what brings your wrath, to open the doors of worshipping you.
رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
The benefits of obedience during and after the month of Ramadan. People cannot remain exactly as they were during the month of Ramadan in terms of their steadfastness in performing certain acts of worship. Continuing to be upon obedience to Allah the Almighty is a reason for one to be granted a good end. As the Prophet said, if Allah wills good for one of His servants, He uses him. He was asked, how does He use him? The Prophet replied, Allah enables him, the servant, to perform a righteous deed before his death and then takes his soul whilst he is in that state. Thus we should ensure being in a state of obedience and worship at all times. Moreover, the reward of being virtuous is greater at times when most people are heedless. There is a great concept that we must always bear in mind. Worship must be the essence of our lives. It is not an incidental matter or a temporary one that is limited or restricted to a certain time or place. Ramadan symbolizes act of obedience. Those who entered Ramadan upon disobedience and departed upon disobedience did not get any benefit from Ramadan whatsoever. This is a serious and dangerous matter, because when describing the hypocrites, Allah says, And when they come to you, they say, "We believe," but they have entered with disbelief in their hearts, and they have certainly left with it. And Allah is most knowing of what they were concealing. The Holy Quran, chapter 3, verse 61. Anyone who departs from Ramadan without having improved in the least is the one being addressed in this verse. Those who being the month whilst on disobedience and return to it as soon as it ends, or are even most disobedient afterwards, did not benefit from the month. They did not repent and refrain from sinning, nor did they show regret for their sins. It is as if the month was a temporary stage for them, after which their evil lifestyles continued. The question here is, did these people truly worship Allah the Almighty during this month, as is Allah's due to be worshipped? And did they obey Allah the Almighty to begin with during this month and fulfill His due rights?
Of course, there's also the fact that لَا تُخْدِلْنِي, one of the best ways where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this kind of lutf or mercy towards the worshipper of helping him not expose himself to the acts of disobeying him and disobeying him is to always put in his mind, to always remind him, to always keep in his mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. I am watching you. And you see that a believer, when he falls into sins sometimes, I've heard from a couple of the youth, that whenever they, for example, wanted to fall into a sin, before falling into the sin, they would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them would fight that urge, that remembrance, and continue to fall into the sin. Yet others would, stand still, think about it a little bit, and then return and take by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them of. And of course, falling into sin in this holy month is very, very wrathful. And the reason behind its wrathfulness is that this is the month of mercy. This is your chance. And how do you do with your chance? Like for sports fans out there, when you have the chance to win a game, and this is your only chance. If you miss it, you guys are going to lose on the title. And for example, the goalkeeper is not available on the goal, and he shoots the ball, and it hits the post and goes out. How devastated would you be? It's not, the devastation is even more if you didn't have that chance. If you didn't have that chance, you would not have something where you are owing about that, oh, we could have won it. We could have done it. The same thing here. You could have won the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this month, but instead of putting the goal in the back of the net, what did you do? You hit it wide and you missed. You missed this opportunity. And not only did you miss the opportunity, but you gained the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of His mercy. You gain the wrath of a merciful Creator in the month of mercy. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us in staying away from what disappoints Him, what keeps away His satisfaction, and to aid us in satisfying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reach the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That's all for this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we continue different nice topics which are directly or indirectly related to the month of Allah, the month of Ramadan. We leave you in care and protection of the Almighty. Oh,
was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.